a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre, Oklahoma. Beautiful day out there. I've had a busy morning. I got up and left way before I should have to go to Oklahoma City. I had an 8 o'clock appointment, and I was back here 10:20, so everything's good. 64 degrees at Slap Out, 65 degrees at the May Ranch, 68 degrees at Lahoma, 63 at Butler, 58 at Eric, 57 at Hollis, and out here in the Panhandle, the Big T, we got 62 at Lipscomb, 56 at McLean, 65 degrees at Odell, and 55 degrees at Wellington. Nothing major going on. I do have some... I usually don't get politics involved in the show too much, but later on the show, President Biden has made a weather forecast for mainly the Southern Plains, but pointed out towards Western Oklahoma, the Oklahoma Panhandle, and the Texas Panhandle about what we're going to look like by the year 2070. So you don't want to go nowhere. That's coming up pretty interesting. Today is the Taylor Ranch happy hour all day long. More about them and their ranch coming up here shortly, but first let's see what happened overnight in the big ag world. Soybean futures rose in overnight trading amid adverse weather in growing areas of Brazil and on continued demand for U.S. supplies. Brazilian bean farmers are facing problems so far this growing season as dry weather plagues some parts of the South American country and excessive rain hurts others. Agrorural consultants from Brazil lowered its projection from soybean output due to dry weather in parts of the country. Production is now pegged at 163.5 million metric tons. That's down from the previous forecast of 164.6 million. Demand for U.S. soybeans, meanwhile, is on the rise as China continues to get sink supplies. The Asian nation, the world's largest importer of the oil seeds, bought another 204,000 metric tons from the U.S. For delivery in the 23-24 marketing year that started on September 1st, according to the USDA. That follows purchases of 1.04 million, 433,000 tons, 110,000 tons, and 126,000 tons. So they're on a soybean diet over there. They're buying the heck out of those. Corn prices were a little changed overnight, but are being underpinned by purchases of U.S. supplies by Mexico, which bought another 101,745 tons, the USDA announced yesterday on top of what I've reported this week. Mexico also bought 143,000 tons in a separate deal announced earlier this week. Soybean futures overnight for January delivery rose 7 cents to $13.96 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal was up 470 to 478.30 a short ton, and soy oil gained 0.12 cents to 52.87 cents a pound. Corn for December delivery was up a half a penny to 478 and 3/4 cents a bushel. And wheat futures overnight for December delivery in Chicago added 3 pennies to 575 a bushel. And Kansas City futures gained 4 1/4 to $6.44 a bushel. The global wheat output is now forecast at 782 million tons in the 23-24 marketing year, down a little bit from the prior outlook. It's been amid smaller projected harvests in several countries. according to the USDA's Economic Research Service said in a report yesterday. Production will be lower than previously expected in Brazil, Argentina, and the United Kingdom, and India, the ERS said. This will offset gains in Russia. Brazilian farmers will produce 9.4 million tons of wheat in the current year. Looks like that's down about 400,000 tons from the prior outlook. Production in Argentina is now seen at 15 million metric tons, down 9% from the previous forecast. Recent rainfall may help stabilize production in the couple of the provinces, but appears too late for a couple of them, one of them being the Santa Fe province, which tend to be planted and harvested earlier. Russian production was raised to 90 million tons from the earlier outlook of 85 million tons. Winds will gust up to 20 miles an hour this afternoon, and the dry weather will continue Thursday. Gusty southerly winds and continued warm temperatures on Thursday will lead to at least a localized uptick in fire weather concerns across parts of the northeast Oklahoma. In central Indiana, dry weather will continue today, leading to a heightened risk of wildfires. A combination of very dry atmosphere and low fuel moisture will result in enhanced fire danger again this weekend. Yeah, because you guys know, Tuesday I said there is no wind in the forecast all week. Well, I lied. Yesterday it was windy, and today it could be a little bit.
Liar! Liar!
Windier. Oh, I hate in-house listeners. Anyway, so I've got that going on. Well, let's go ahead and check up on update on the commodities right now. The latest, greatest, December 469 on corn, down 9. March is 487, down 7. May is 497, down 6. Soybeans for January, 1382, down 7, looks like. May is 1396, down 6, and May is down 5 at 1407. Soybean meal is down $7.80 for December at 465.80. January is 449.60, down 6 bucks, and March is 435.70, down $5.20. A hard red winter wheat, December, 635, down 4. March is at 644, down 4, almost 0.46, let's go with that. And then May is 651, down 5. Soybean oil, I missed it. It's the only thing in the green in this column over here. December, soybean oil is 52.97, up 0.22 cents. January is 52.28, and May is 51.91. Anyway, you ladies out there listening, if you like your soybean oil and all that other stuff mixed with soybean, this is the highest I've ever seen soybeans at. So you might go buy you a couple bottles for reserves because it might get out of hand. Anyway, cotton is down about a quarter of a penny. December 78.43. March is 81.01, and it just changed. March is now 80.93. May is 81.70. Let's see here. Oil is down a buck 02 at 77.24 for December. January is down 85 cents at 77.32. Natural gas is up a little bit, 0.14 at $3.25 for December, 3.42 for January, and 3.36 for February. Our oil field buddies out here, we need some cold weather so that natural gas will go up. Looks like the Dow and the S&P are up and the NASDAQ is down. All right, let's go ahead and take our first Taylor Ranch break. And when we come back, I'll have you some update on some live and feeder cattle and see if we get any results from up at the sale barns up north. Be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettsweldingcom. Again, that's everettsweldingcom. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
You've heard us talking about the 30-year-old ratchet that Napa replaced. No questions asked. A customer had a question about that particular transaction and that particular policy of replacing tools regardless of age. He walked into
Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, November 10th. 2,848 heads were sold. 20 head of steers at 501 brought 260. 5 at 668 brought 221. 4 at 705 brought 190. 7 at 761 brought 177. 5 at 763 brought 170. 10 head of heifers at 451 brought 268. 8 at 473 brought 235. 6 at 513 brought 230. 11 at 533 brought 228. 5 at 615 brought 222. 14 at 656 brought 206. 10 at 705 brought 185. Butcher cows were 30 to 124. Butcher bulls brought 64 to 119. Bred cows were 1,000 to 2075. Pairs brought 600 to 2700. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sell every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
You know, I think the best advice that I could give a young couple is to go sit down and talk to an insurance agent. I see a lot of young couples, they're just getting online. I mean, they're just clicking the button and clicking what's cheap. And, well, if I click this, it makes it a little cheaper. But if I click that, it makes it go up. Well, there's a reason why it goes up. You need to know what you're paying for. And if you're paying for it, you need to make sure you've got the right coverage. You know, another piece of advice I would give is when you go in and talk to that agent, you need to discuss getting some life insurance. It doesn't have to be me. Any agent can help with that. But a young couple, you need to go in and sit down and talk to someone and understand what you're doing. You know, a term policy on a younger couple, it's a whole lot less expensive than what people think. And the younger you buy it, the cheaper it is. It's worth finding out how minimal that expense is, because it's life-changing if it's needed. That would be my best advice.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Hey, Today in Ag listeners, this is Jared Clark with South Star JCB. We carry a variety of wheel loaders, excavators, telehandlers, skid steers, and several other types of equipment. Please give me a call at 469-325-7466. That's 469-325-7466. Check us out on the web, southstartxjcb.com. That's southstartxjcb.com. I'd love to sell you one. Thank you and God bless you.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
I'll be nice today. Anyway, all right, let's check it out. Canadian, Texas. Here's your ag weather update for the day. Currently, you're at 67. The humidity's at 53. Dew point's at 49. Winds are south, out of south, 6 miles an hour. Peak wind gust today, 13. No month to date precipitation yet. Red flag minutes today, 0. Sub-freezing minutes today, 0. 8-inch soil temperature, 55 degrees. Man, that fog hung around. It was just like from Canute west, because when I went to Oklahoma City this morning, I ran out of Canute, and then when I was getting back about 10 o'clock, it looked like it was just lifting here, but it was still a little froggy around there. So anyway, I'll take a fog every morning. And so, okay, let's see what we got here. This is show is live on 96.5 KECO and 100.1 KWFX out of Woodward every day, 12 to 1. Also, you can find us on live on Facebook, and you can find us live on the website, and both Facebook and the website is KECOFM. You don't have a problem finding it. So anyway, you can go back anytime you want. You get a phone call or you're eating lunch or something and you want to listen to the show, you can go to Facebook or you can just go to the website. And every day by probably around 1:15, I'll have it
the show posted on there, so you can listen to it any one you want. They're all on there. Every show I've ever done since we started this 2.5 years ago is on there. Okay, first of all, let's talk about the Taylor Ranch. All cattle are not the same, just like in people. Our genetics determine our traits. I mean, look at the difference in the good genetics I got and the genetics Sean Wilson got. So there's a lot of difference in genetics. How's about that? Some people are tall, some short, some blonde hair, and so on. It's the same in cattle. Cattle are not the same genetically, especially when it comes to making a good steak. Some cattle just make better steaks than others because they have the right genetics. Taylor Ranch has been working on carcass genetics for over 17 years to develop animals that excel in both flavor and tenderness to give you that mouth-watering best steak in your life eating experience. They develop every animal as if it were going to be served on their own table. That's Taylor Ranch, selling quarters, halves, or whole beef, third-party verified, all natural and hormone-free, also available. Call Mr. Jimmy Taylor at 405-609-4662. I promise you guys, you won't go wrong. 405-609-4662. And by the way, a big old congratulations out there goes to James and Tracy Taylor. And that's Jimmy and Tracy Taylor as I know them. Anyway, the Taylor family of Roger Mills County was recognized as the District 2 Farm and Ranch Family of the Year by the Oklahoma Farm Bureau this last weekend at their state convention. So congratulations to James and Tracy Taylor. Only my mom calls me James. But anyway, James and Tracy Taylor, congratulations on being the recognized as the District 2 Farm and Ranch Family of the Year. How good is that? How great is that? All right, let's see. Let's check out some prices on live cattle. They're in the green today. December, $177.35, up $1.50. February is $178.27, up $1.40. April is $180.05, up $1.25. June is $174.62, up 90 cents. Feeder cattle for November, $229.27, down 77 cents. January is $230.07, up $1.07. March is $233.10, up $1.72. April is $237.17, up $2.20, not 27. May, $240.87, up $2.22. Lean hogs are all in the red today. December, $71.75. February is $75.45. And what else we got there? April, $81.52. I've had some people ask me over the last month or two, why I say a lot about soybeans and corn and all that good stuff. Well, you got to keep in mind, the listening area is huge. We basically are from Enid, draw a line down towards Watonga, down towards the 108 exit, down towards Apache, and down in there, and even out into quite a ways out in the panhandle and to the east in Texas and parts of the Oklahoma panhandle and parts of southern Kansas, believe it or not. And there's a lot of soybeans and corn grown in some of those areas. So I try to give everybody a little bit of information on what's going on around our whole listening area. It's just not right around Elk City. It's everywhere. So if you guys ever want to get a guest or focus on something that you want to hear about, you can always call in here, or not call in, but text into the Today in Ag text line, 580-225-9697, and I'll do some research, see if I can find a guest, and go from there. How's that? I'm very open to suggestions. Anyway, here we go. Here's some results from some auction sales up north of here, in the northern part of the state. This will be on cows. Looks like compared to last week already, slaughter cows are steady to $4 higher this week. Slaughter bulls are $2 to $4 lower. Demand's been moderate, and so we'll see what we got going on here. Breaker cows weighing anywhere from 1446 to 1718. We're bringing anywhere on average, 97.33 to 110.30. High end was 111. Cows, boners, be what? About 150 heads sold so far this week up north. And they're weighing anywhere from 12.63 to 13.39 average price on boner cows. 88.98 to 99.08 at the top end. Lean cows, about 100 head there, weighing anywhere from 9.98 to 11.32. Heaviest ones, average price on those anywhere from 87.15 to the high end was $90.98. Bulls, quite a few of those, ranging anywhere, average weight ranging anywhere from 1589 to 2027. Average price on them, 84.66 to 111.52, 115 being the high end, and the heaviest bull sold, 2,197 pounds. Bred cows, 11 head, was averaging anywhere from 1,285 to 1,825, with 1,450 being the average. Bred cows, 2 to 4 year olds, there was one in there, and it brought 1210. Cow-calf pairs, medium and large number ones with 150-pound calf on them or less, brought $1,800. And cow-calf pairs, medium and large number ones with 150 to 300-pound calves on them, 2 to 4 year old, brought $2,250. How about that? Well, since I was talking about Mr. Taylor, I was looking through a deal here, and you guys have probably already seen it or heard about it overnight, but the United States is moving forward with plans to allow fresh beef imports from Paraguay, despite objections from the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. On Thursday, the USDA and the Plant Health Inspection Service announced they were publishing a final rule allowing imports to begin. The rule will go in effect next month, 30 days after being published in the Federal Register. Since the rule was initially proposed in March, the National Cattlemen's Beef Association has raised concerns regarding Paraguay's history with foot and mouth disease. The NCBA Executive Director of Government Affairs, Ken Buckus, says the USDA's decision to allow beef imports from Paraguay is based on a deeply flawed risk assessment, including site visits that were conducted more than 9 years ago. He also questions the nation's current disease mitigation efforts. Paraguay heavily relies on private sector funding for most of its FMD mitigation measures, and USDA did not consider the risk associated with Paraguay's economic downturn over the last several years, he said. According to a USDA release, the Plant Health Inspection Service's risk analysis concluded fresh beef can be safely imported from Paraguay so long as foot and mouth has not been diagnosed in the exporting region over the past 12 months. Meat must originate from a location where foot and mouth has not been present during the lifetime of any of the animals. Animals must also be inspected before and after death. Buckus said that contends that the safety has taken a backseat to politics. He notes that Paraguay has been gaining access to the U.S. beef market, a top priority during recent trade discussion. He believes the rule decision was a predetermined outcome and used as bargaining tool for American interests. The dismissal of legitimate concern from U.S. cattle producers is unacceptable, and the USDA should halt this unscientific, unsafe rulemaking, he said. While winning friends and allies in South America may be part of the long-term interests of U.S. diplomacy, it shouldn't be done on the backs of U.S. cattle producers or by putting at risk the health and livelihood of the safest and most efficient cattle and beef production system in the world. And I gotta honestly tell you, I agree with him, because I've been to some foreign countries and I don't see them having, not every system is safe, foolproof, or if you want to call it, but some of those third world countries, I can't see them having inspectors like our USDA inspectors here, our vets that will report them. And I see them having one bad cow in their herd and they going out there and burying them and nobody ever knows that they had them. So anyway, I got to agree with the NCBA for sure on this one. So anyway, I'd say if you guys are concerned as I am about it, start with your U.S. representatives and your U.S. senators. Let them know that you're worried about this. I don't think it'd do any good to call the USDA. You probably wouldn't even get to the right department because this is not a local level. This is way above our FSA offices here. But anyway, start with them. Matter of fact, start with Mr. Mullins, Senator Mullins. You see him? He was threatening to kick people's butt on TV yesterday. It's good stuff. Hey, you can tell he was in the military before, and he's the only senator in Washington, D.C. that drives a Ford F-250 around. So a diesel at that, too. Anyway, well, let's go ahead and take a Taylor Ranch break. When we come back, I'll have some latest news on peanut harvest and some other stuff coming up. Be right back after this.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
When your tractor has a flat, you're stuck. When your truck's on a construction site and a tire goes down, you're in trouble. You need help. So you call down to Blair, and they come to you. They answer the phone, and somebody comes to wherever you are to fix your problem. They carry Firestone, Michelin, and some other tires. Blair Tire and Feed. Highway 283 and 19. On-site tire service. 563-2692. 563-2692. They come to you.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
In this area, a lot of people wean their calves off their cows in the fall. Wheat's planted in the fall, and they buy calves. They take them to the sale barn or maybe private treaty. They run them through the winter on wheat. And some sell in March before they cut their wheat. Some take them through May and graze out their wheat and sell them in May or run them through grass in the summer. I have cattle. The guys I work with, they have cattle. I'm a fourth generational rancher. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
SEI Agritech excited to announce construction is beginning at the SEI Agritech Center in Elk City for their new product line. They'll be blending LNC feed with all the feed rations that you've come to know and trust. This will be the only LNC blending facility in the area. SEI Agritech in Elk City will be opening their new facility in the near future at their current location at 1400 South Randall in Elk City. For more information, you can give Kent a call at 580-225-0317.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts, from gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boom bats. Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, for all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
At Lone Star Gin, 4.5 miles south of Pampa, Texas on Highway 70, our mission is to provide superior customer service to our producers while getting their cotton ginned in a timely manner. We possess 120-plus bale per hour capacity, high-tech moisture systems, on-site sampling, and we move cotton in a timely manner from the field to the gin. With excellent hands-on marketing, our gin is designed to maximize profits for our farmers. Visit us at www.lonestargin.com or give us a call, 806-665-0677.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Here's your ag weather update for northwestern Oklahoma. I picked the big town of Lahoma. Dew point is at 50. Humidity is at 50%. Temperatures at 69. No cotton stripping going on right now. Southwest winds 12 miles an hour with wind gust up to 18. I get there. 24-hour rainfall and 10-day rainfall. Nothing to measure there. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature 54 degrees. 1-day average 10-inch fractional water 0.9. Sunset at 5:25. Lahoma 71 today. Tonight 43, and tomorrow 71. And it looks like you're going to have a few gusty winds tomorrow up to 20-25 miles an hour at Lahoma. How about that? Okay, let's get us over with the president. I hate this, but anyway, I thought this would be of interest to you guys. The new National Climate Assessment released this week by the Biden administration not only lays out likely climate change, but impacts by region, but also says Oklahoma, he specifically said Oklahoma, can expect drier conditions in the coming years. Climate change is here, said the director of the White House Office of Science and Technology Policy in the Biden administration. Climate change has always been here, as far as I'm concerned. Whether it's wildfires or floods or drought, whether it's extreme heat or storms, we know that climate change has made its way into our lives, and it's unfolding as predicted. Yeah. The report explained in this that the southern Great Plains, where Oklahoma is located, already has increased hot, dry, and windy conditions, especially in the panhandles of Oklahoma and in Texas and in southwest Oklahoma, or Kansas, sorry. As a result, the report said the drier weather has reduced wheat yields to the number of hot, dry, windy hours. Producers also are expected to experience drier conditions and more frequently or intense drought by mid-century in western and the southern parts of the region, lowering crop productivity and increasing irrigation costs, predicted the assessment. By 2070, across a range of climate change scenarios to very high, the southern Great Plains is projected to lose cropland acreage as these lands transition into pasture or grassland. The assessment also stated that in the future, drier conditions will threaten agriculture and water supplies in parts of the southern Great Plains. However, the northern and eastern boundaries of the region, which includes eastern Oklahoma, are expected to receive more precipitation. The western regions of the state, along with Texas and southwest Kansas, are expected to see a 4% decrease in total annual precipitation. I think that's it. Oh, no, it's not. There, it just popped up. The report was critical of the energy industry in the region, noting that how the release of greenhouse gases by fossil fuels contributed substantially to atmospheric warming. Doesn't say anything about wind towers turning and disturbing the atmosphere, but anyway, it's going to pick on the oil and gas guys. It said Texas led the nation in 2020 in emissions of carbon dioxide, doubled that of the next highest emitting state. Texas also has the highest methane emissions in the same year, and the Permian Basin leaks the largest amount of methane a year from any U.S. gas-producing region. Offsetting the fossil fuel production is the growth of renewable energy generation in Oklahoma, Texas, and Kansas, where wind farms are located every freaking where. It's estimated the installed capacity of electricity generated by wind in Texas will increase from 31,100 megawatts in 2020 to 41,700 megawatts coming up in 2025. The assessment said the transition of the workforce from the carbon to the low-carbon economy is expected to affect some southern Great Plains community in a bad way. For tribes and communities facing this transition, there generally is a lack of planning, infrastructure, financing, and workforce training in new careers, including in renewable energy across the region. Wind turbine productivity across western Kansas, western Oklahoma, and the Texas Panhandle is projected to increase with climate change because of the more stable, low-level jet stream, a regional atmospheric feature that generates strong winds at turbine heights, particularly at night during the spring and summer, continued this assessment from President Joe Biden. So there you have it. I just, like I said, I hate politics, but I just want to let you guys know that they've figured out what's going to happen to western Oklahoma and Texas Panhandle and Oklahoma Panhandle by 2070. So anyway, cropland's going to go away. Grassland and pasture is coming in, and there you have it. That's all I got to say about it. Anyway, well, my man Tyrone Spearman has an update from the USDA on peanuts.
Production for peanuts is at 5.98 billion pounds in 2023. That's down 4% from the previous forecast, but up 8% from last year. Area harvested 1.60 million acres, unchanged from the previous forecast, but up 16% from 2022. Based on conditions as of November the 1st, the average yield for the U.S. is forecast at 3,740 pounds per acre. That's down 165 pounds per acre from the last forecast and down 268 pounds per acre from last year. Checking on the states, they're showing now in October, Alabama had predicted to make 3,000 pounds per acre. That's now been dropped to 2,600 pounds per acre with a lot of drought in that state. Florida, they had predicted 3,000 pounds. It stayed that level, 3,000 pounds again in the November estimate. On Georgia, they had predicted Georgia to average 4,300 pounds. That has now been dropped to 4,100 pounds of peanuts per acre. That is the crop now, a little less than 3 million tons. So we'll have an update on the total crop as soon as Federal State Inspection Service reports. I'm Tyron Spearman for Southeast AgNet.
Thank you, Mr. Spearman, on that update. Here in about 2 weeks, I'll get an update and final numbers on our peanuts here in Oklahoma and some in Texas. So anyway, let's go ahead and take a Taylor Ranch break. When I come back, I'll have your Hober Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards Weekly Cattle Sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You got to go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
You worked and you sweat and you worried for months over your crop. So why are you giving away part of the profit to someone else? Cut out the middleman. Keep your grain on your farm. Keep your money for yourself. A grain bin on your farm will never depreciate as long as you use it, and it'll make you as much money as you want it to make. Store your own grain in your own bin. Wall Bin Hoppers. Take a look at their website, wallequip.com. Wallequip.com. You did all the work. You should keep all the profit.
What's it like having unlimited internet from Sparklight? It's like bellying up to an all-you-can-see digital buffet and indulging in endless cat videos without getting a single data cramp. And now, Sparklight's ultra-fast, reliable internet includes unlimited data at no extra charge. Get 300 meg internet for just $39.95 a month for 18 months. No contracts, free installation. Call 888-998-8630. Sparklight, a new breed in high speed. Limited time offer. Regular rate of $70 a month applies after promotional period. Subject to change. Restrictions apply.
Get a new CF Moto off-road vehicle or motorcycle at the CF Moto Power Fest sales event with financing as low as 0.99% or no payments for 7 months on off-road vehicles. Or get up to $3,000 on select off-road vehicles and up to $1,250 on non-current motorcycles. Visit CFMotoUSA.com for details. CF Moto. Experience more together. Financing is subject to credit approval. Additional terms and restrictions may apply. Void where prohibited. Excludes U-Force 1000 XL.
Visit your CF Motorsports dealer, Elk City Power Sports, at their new location, 723 South Main Street in Elk City.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton? High cotton. It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com.
Whether you graze livestock or produce hay from perennial forages, the Night Latch Group helps farmers and ranchers manage production risk by utilizing the federal crop insurance programs. The Pasture Range and Forage Rainfall Insurance Program signups for the 24 calendar year are now till December 1st. PRF provides needed cash flow and pays producers during periods of below average rainfall. Insure your operation against lack of rainfall with no money up front. Hold on to your ag investment with the Night Latch Group, 580-334-7995. Remember, even wet years have dry spells.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right. Hey, I was just looking at this Atwoods insert into the Penny News. And I was telling you guys earlier last Friday about the buy of the week. These 12-ounce WD-40 aerosol with a smart straw on them, $5.99 off $2. Well, I don't know about the other Atwoods store, but this one out here at Elk City, I went in there before I come to work, and they're sitting right by the doors, by the case. Go get you some, because it ain't going to get much cheaper than that ever. Like I said, $5.99. That's a bargain. Anyway, what else did I see in here? There's all kinds of good stuff coming in. The boss is on his way to get the new Penny News. So set your alarms in the morning. Get up early. Get to your favorite convenience store before all the round table people grab about 20 of them and read them and then take them out in their truck and leave them out there. So get up early so you can get your early Penny News. Hobart Farm and Garden long range or ag weather forecast. I've picked Medicine Park. 68, dew points 49, humidity's 51. The winds are out of the south at 11 with wind gusts up to 16. No rainfall in the last 10 days or 24 hours. 3-day average bare soil temperature 58 degrees. Fractional water 1-day average 10 inches, 0.9. Sunset 5:30. Today 69, you're going to get there. Tonight 46, and tomorrow partly sunny and 70 degrees at Medicine Park, Oklahoma. All right, coming up Saturday, November the 18th at 11 a.m. at the world famous one and only Hobart Stockyards, they will be having their fall replacement sale. Man, they got all kinds of stuff. I don't even know what the new consignments are because I know there's a bunch came in this week. But anyway, this one sticks out for me. 100 3-year-old second calf purebred Red Angus cows calving starting in February for 90 days AI to low birth weight Angus bulls, and then also 50 Red Angus heifers AI to Ranch Master start calving in February for 60 days. Anyway, they've just all kinds of Angus going on in here, plus they're going to have at least 20 breeding age bulls for sale. It's that time of the year, guys. It starts now, and we're going to continue with cow and bull sales all the way up into March. So anyway, this looks like it's going to be a great one. Hover Stockyards Fall Replacement Sales, Saturday, November 18th, 11 a.m. Call Mr. Rex Fleming for any questions, and they will also be serving a free lunch. And there you have it. Got that going on. All right, let's see here. I had to do my cotton report this week, so let's do the cotton report. Here we go. In its November crop report, USDA estimated a 2023 U.S. cotton crop of 13.09 million bales, 270,000 bales more than the agency estimated in October report. Upland production was estimated at 12.74 million bales, and extra long staple ELS production at 354,000 bales. Harvested area was estimated at 8.02 million acres, implying a non-harvested area of 2.21 million acres. The resulting abandonment rate is 21.61%. The national average yield per harvested acre was estimated to be at 783 pounds, 75 pounds less than the five-year average. Let's see what happens here in the Southwest. The Southwest upland crop is estimated at 4.12 million bales. Expected harvest area is 3.95 million acres, and the regional yield is 500 pounds, 183 pounds less than its five-year average of 683 pounds per harvested acre. The Texas upland crop is estimated at 3.60 million bales. Expected harvested area is 3.55 million acres, and average yield is 487 pounds. That's down 190 pounds. Let's see here. With expected yields of 900 pounds, that's up 53 pounds. Kansas is up in yield when compared to its five-year average. Oklahoma's down in its yield with estimated 542 pounds per harvested acre, and it's down 138 pounds on its average per acre. There you go. Let's see here. In November report, USDA lowered its 2023-24 mill use projection by 100,000 bales from its October projection to 2.05 million bales, while exports were unchanged at 12.20 million bales. This generates a total 23-24 offtake of 14.25 million bales. Ending stock for the 23-24 are projected at 3.2 million bales for an ending stocks used to ratio of 22.5%. The 22-23 crop year, USDA gauged U.S. production at 14.47 million. Mill use and exports were unchanged from the October report at 2.05 million bales and 12.77 million bales, respectively. Total offtake for the 22-23 crop year is estimated at 14.82 million bales. And there you have it. What else we got here? The treatment. The EPA is responded to requests by the NCC and others to extend the comment period for the advance notice of proposed rulemaking for treated seed and treated paint products. The comment period has been extended from December 11th to February 9th. So if you want to talk, get on there and put comments on about the treated seeds, you need to do it. The National Cotton Council will continue reviewing the AMPRM at www.cotton.org/issues/23/upload. So get after it and comment accordingly. There you go. Let's see here. We got FSA. Here we go. USDA began mailing ballots. They did. I've already got one in the mail for Greer County. The USDA began mailing ballots for the Farm Servicing Agency, County and Urban County Committee elections to all eligible agricultural producers and private landowners across the country. These elections are occurring in certain local administration areas for the committee members who made important decisions about how federal farm programs are administered locally. Producers and landowners must return ballots to their local FSA county office or have their ballots postmarked by December 4th. That's not that far away. So I just got my ballot in a few days ago. So, anyway, I'll get it back in there. So there you go. You guys, you see that ballot? Don't throw in the trash. So, anyway, debt export sales for the week ending on November 2nd were 427,900 bales of cotton. This brings total 23-24 sales to about 7.3 million bales. Total sales at the same point at 22-23 marketing year was 9.1 million. So down almost 2 million bales. Total new crop for 24-25 sales are already at 562,900 bales. Shipments for the week were 97,500 bales, a marketing year low, bringing total exports to date 2.2 million bales compared to 2.9 million bales at a comparable point in the 22-23 marketing year. So there is your cotton update. I hope I got you guys all you wanted to hear about. So anyway, don't forget to vote with your local FSA there. Okay, let's see what we got here. There I go. Storage never pays, or does it? Some of the top producers in my area have beautiful grain setups that are efficient, help with logistics, and are expensive. Others have fleets of trucks and haul their crop to local elevators or co-ops. Neither is wrong. And both sides of these operations do a great job farming, managing people and logistics, and growing good crops. Why, then, is there a stark difference in these operations? One of the key components is storage. With storage considerations come a few key questions. What is your operational geography? How much do you like working on trucks or finding somebody to drive them? Would you rather manage a bin site or more people? Do you prefer cash or long-term assets? What are your tax consequences? What are the historic bases and carry levels? To help give an answer, we build an Excel file that calculates the cost of storage, what you stand to benefit, and how storage could fit into your operation. Key considerations are geography, bases, and carry in the market, especially with the higher interest rates than recent years. Locally, bases in the river markets or high producing areas can drop significantly during harvest, even if deliveries are put into commercial storage versus cash sales. Storage rates are expensive. Local end users should be rewarded when things like the bases push, low shrink, and free cheap drying are offered. Storage bins often make delivery when these pushes come much easier for the farmer to take advantage of. Regardless of your preferences and past assumptions on storage, please reach out to run your numbers in the tool and see if new storage or more storage might make sense in your operation. His parting thought is about the years ahead. In the past 3 years, doing nothing and waiting on the market has been rewarded. I think we will see a shift away from that. In fact, many producers got burned this year with this mentality in their marketing plan. These cycles come and go, and the top producers I know are making a mindset shift planning for the future, and you should too. So if you want to check this out, if you go on the AgWeb on their business site, it's got this deal where you can get into this Excel sheet and check out whether you need more storage or just keep hauling it off like you did. I want to know, is there anybody got a corn dryer in western Oklahoma? I know Mr. Freeman down there has got a flaker, but I want to know if there's anybody in western Oklahoma, northwestern Oklahoma, anybody. I would love to talk to you about your corn dryer. I'm curious. I don't need one. I'm just more curious what it costs to run, what's it cost per bushel to dry your corn, and all this other stuff. I'm in the learning stage. So anyway, I would love to hear from you on that part there. Just curious. Curiosity's killing me. Anyway, we got a few minutes left here. And here's a quick one. Yeah, here we go. The USDA is investing $70.2 million in the Specialty Crop Research Initiative to support nearly two dozen research and extension projects. USDA Deputy Secretary Toral Small has put out that they are got projects all over the United States. And I'm going to dig into these because I like the specialty crops deal. So when I find out more about this, I'm going to let you guys know because it has a lot to do with gardening and vegetables. That's cool stuff. Anyway, that's it for today. Hey, I'm going to let you guys, well, remember, next Wednesday, hopefully, I think she's coming, Jill Metter will be back in the house to spend one day with Jimmy Clark. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Sarah in Elk City, Oklahoma. You guys have a great day, and God bless.
Fun, right? Isn't this fun? This is nice.
KEZO, Elk City.